Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Mostly dry conditions are forecast for the northern plains for the remainder of this week and into the weekend. This will help dry out fields in eastern North Dakota, but the western Dakotas will become in more need of rain. High temperatures will be in the 70s and 80s today and the 60s and 70s on Thursday and Friday. According to World Weather Incorporated, some shower and thunderstorm activity is possible next Sunday through Tuesday. Much of that precipitation will be sporadic, amounting from a trace to 2/10 of an inch. Higher chances of rain are likely the second week of June.
McLeod County of Minnesota farmer Brian Thalman says the corn crop is progressing nicely, but cool temperatures did have an impact on emergence.
We are seeing a little bit of an emergence issue, probably 5 to 10% stand loss. And, you know, we were happy to get the corn in April, and then we got about 4 inches of nice low rain following the planting, but it stayed so cool. And I think in areas, a few plants, you know, struggled to get out.
And Thalman says that corn emergence really not a big issue, just something to be aware of.
Not a big concern, but he's seeing that all over, that especially on the corn on corn fields or soybean fields that had a variety last year where the soybean straw was a little bit stringy. The residue kind of kept that soil a little colder, and with the lack of sun, I think, for a bit, they just didn't get that ground warm enough quick enough.
According to USDA, sunflower planting is at 17% in North Dakota and 8% in South Dakota. Minnesota has 47% of the crop in the ground. National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sambakken says drier and warmer weather should allow for good planting progress in states behind the average pace.
Well, you know, in the Dakotas and Minnesota, we're kind of about equal to where we were last year at this time, but we are behind the five-year average by about a week or so, I would say. But in the High Plains states, Colorado, Kansas, Texas, they're definitely ahead of the five-year average and just really rolling, getting the crop in. And I think with the weather conditions we're going to have here in the next 7 to 10 days, I think we're going to catch up and be ahead of where we were last year for sure.
There is still time for farmers to take advantage of sunflower market opportunities, with final crop insurance planting dates ranging from June 10th to June 20th for the region.
There's still a pretty good sized window here left to get the crop in and still hit that final planting date. If producers are looking at a later planted crop, well, sunflower fits in really well. You can easily plant into that first to middle part of June and still get a really nice crop in the fall. Our crop last year was smaller than what the industry was hoping for, and this year, when you look at the planting intentions report that came out in March, we showed about a 15% increase in acres for sunflower. Well, industry was hoping for more of like about a 20 to 25% increase, so there's definitely more room, you know, to grow the amount of production that we need to meet market demand.
The grain market continues to trade two-sided as the crop waits for warmer weather. Here's Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops.
Sitting in the ground and really not growing for several weeks because of the conditions that we've had. But the forecast pushes this cloud cover out of the Midwest by the weekend, and then we start to heat things back up. And, you know, 6 to 10 day has above normal temperatures, below normal precip, and the trade sees that as just ideal, and so that has left the corn and soybean markets choppy and two-sided.
Hoop says the cattle market is seeing a little follow-through strength.
The cattle auction this morning, we didn't have any trade. They were asking 120 and no interest from the packer there. There's been some cash trade in the Southern Plains, but again, it's really low amount of head, just very limited handful being traded. The regional packers paying 190 in the north, maybe some 174. So it's kind of mixed, but at least we are trying to trade higher, and the futures are trying to follow the cash market higher.
U.S. beef processors are making progress in boosting output. USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagum says processors are likely to continue to make more progress as the weeks go by.
Plants are continuing to operate. Again, they are adjusting to CDC guidelines for social distancing. They're having to adjust how their employees function within that plant, which is causing the line speeds to be slower than they would have been prior to COVID-19. One would expect, as the industry continues to adapt, continues to make progress in understanding how to get the most out of the employees given the circumstances, we might see continued increases in slaughter going forward.
As the nation's beef slaughter numbers continue to increase, Shagum says cattle prices seem to have bottomed out.
Now, when we look at the most recent feeder calf auctions, feeder cattle in the same weight range were averaging about $130 a hundredweight. So they have moved up off of their April lows. So we have seen some recovery in cattle prices.
And fed cattle prices are up from their April lows, average of 102 to 116.
The South Dakota Farmers Union is working with potential investors to purchase the Demcota beef packing plant in Aberdeen. The plant is currently owned by California-based White Oak Global Advisors. The plant started to process animals in 2015 and slaughters more than 1,000 head each day. There is an increased demand for meat processing at local lockers and smaller processing facilities following the closure of meat packing plants, which created a bottleneck of livestock in the state. Potential investors could see this as an opportunity to create more options.
The USDA Farm Safety Net Program for dairy farmers is kicking in for the month of March.
Under the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, those producers that elected the $9.50 per hundredweight level in their coverages, this triggers a 35-cent per hundredweight payment.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce says the March DMC payment is the first for 2020. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. In Fort Pierce, South Dakota, 14 investors calling themselves U.S. beef producers are working on ramping up production in their new beef packing plant. Investor and Continental Marketing owner Kim Ulmer says it's been a busy past few weeks perfecting the process.
We have done 22 heads so far with a South Dakota status not for sale custom kill, meaning we can just be like a local locker plant. You can bring it in and we can process a few head for you, then you pay us for the processing. And that's the first step towards getting USDA certified. You've got to prove to the USDA that you can process beef safely. And so that's what we did. We got in and got our state license. And then people brought us some beef, and then we just start processing it on a custom kill processing with a not-for-sale stamp on the beef packages.
Ulmer sees the new processing plant as a way to address the issue of lower beef prices. He says the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the existing problem, and producers are getting paid even lower prices for their animals.
Now we're getting about 35 to 45 calls per day from people wanting to either start a box beef program or needing some processing because all the small locker plants are booked out 6 months to 12 months already. And people are begging for a slot and a kill for a space. And we're doing our best to make room for them and try to take on the local area from Pierce, South Dakota, to try to give them a destination for their processing. And we're learning, and we got a lot more to learn, but we are trying to get through our first 20 head, and then we're going to start scheduling in June or July for more of the local processing and also some of the USDA stuff.
The investors set a goal to turn out USDA-inspected beef by the end of this month. As of Tuesday, the plant is still waiting for that stamp of approval.
The Coronavirus Food Assistance Program direct payments are generating questions as farmers sign up. The math is getting complicated for some, particularly about the 50% payment factor on 2019 productions. Questions also remain about unharvested crops. South Dakota Farm Service Agency Acting Executive Director Jamie White addresses that unharvested acres portion.
Harvested crops for 2019 production, we should have actual RMA settlement sheets, but there would be certified information that would be available in regard to unharvested production as well. We did have a lot of producers that had production still in the ground that was harvested, yet obviously in the winter of 2019 moving into 2020. But what we have to look at is what was the production held in inventory as of January 15th, 2020 that wasn't sold.
White says South Dakota FSA offices remain closed to the public during this COVID-19 pandemic, and business is being done virtually. White did not confirm a timeline to reopen those offices.
Knowing that we are rolling out the CFAT program, offices are anxious to have that traditional work environment, but right now we're going to continue under the current operating environment where we'll conduct business virtually. And the CFAT program was specifically designed to be administered in a virtual manner to assist both producers and USDA employees with successful implementation.
White says if farmers have all eligibility documents on file and apply, they could see payments as soon as this week. Sign up for CFAP is open through August.
Before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, farmers already had 5 years of down commodity prices. The statement comes from Minnesota Department of Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson, who acknowledges agriculture is struggling. During a webinar hosted by a Minneapolis-based food bank, Second Harvest Heartland, Peterson was asked if farmers also struggle with hunger.
From talking to my own local food shelf, and I think what has always been hard for me is to see a lot of our retired farmers who live in town or maybe still live on the farm and their only income is Social Security and their rent check. To see somebody who fed the world for many years in our state, their income is low enough so that they, that's their option, you know, as an important option for them. And I think it's difficult to see that, but so important that our senior population has that accessibility to their local food shelves.
A friendly reminder, you can hear the latest farm news, weather, and podcast anytime. Listen on rrfn.com, Spotify, and more. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Farm news. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The COVID-19 pandemic shows the necessity of broadband access in rural America. That, according to an op-ed published in the Washington Examiner by Senators Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Joni Ernst of Iowa, and David Perdue of Georgia. Since the coronavirus national emergency was declared March 13th, the Rural Broadband Association reports increases in usage at significantly higher rates. This is largely due to workplaces moving online and employees using broadband to stay connected. The op-ed also refers to people across the country using the internet to apply for resources and seek assistance.
Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Sam Hudson is watching corn and ethanol demand for signs of improvement.
You know, as we get ethanol back on its feet, you know, or back on all fours at the least, I guess, here in the summer, I think you'll see some bids start to improve. They're going to start buying grain again. I don't know if they're going to have to chase it. We could come, you know, up with a 30-day window where, you know, the feed market and the ethanol market kind of needs corn again. And if that comes, you know, at a time where it's a light farmer sell rate, you know, maybe you could get a bit of a bounce and, you know, see those basis levels perk up again.
Hudson expects to see marketing opportunities as corn demand picks up.
As we get everyone back producing again, those stocks should grow again. And that's one thing I'm going to be interested to see this week, is to see how much our ethanol stocks declined again week to week, because as fuel usage starts to increase, our ethanol production is not going to increase at the same rate. We could draw those stocks down to a pretty tight level before they expand and bulge again later on this year.
Bauer Trading President Jim Bauer says how Brazil handles this coronavirus outbreak may lead to U.S. grain business.
Very serious situation. If it continues to deteriorate at the rate that it is right now, my personal belief is Brazil could implode, their economic system could break down, and some of that business that's been ongoing between Brazil and their trading partners could be sent more towards a safer, more secure spot, such as the United States.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down 3.25 at 514.5. July Chicago wheat down 3.25 at 503.5. July corn up 0.5 at 319.5. December corn down 0.25 at 333.75. July beans up 1.25 at 848.25. November beans down 0.25 at 854.75. Livestock markets trading mostly higher here at midday. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This is the Red River Farm Network.